Welcome everybody to the Melbourne City Council meeting number 58. It is Tuesday the 25th of August 2020 and we're starting at 5:30 p.m. I welcome councillors, management and members of the public. Thank you for attending this meeting this evening. In light of the move to stage four restrictions, everybody is participating virtually. We respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which the City of Melbourne is gathered, the Bunurong and the Woiwurrung Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and pay our respects to their elders past and present. Melbourne has always been an important meeting place for people of the Kulin Nation, and we are really proud that it's still an important meeting place for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. As part of our efforts to contain the spread of COVID-19 and pursuant to the provisions of sections 394 and 395 of the Local Government Act 2020, council and committee meetings will be held virtually until further notice. During the period 1 May 2020 to 1 November 2020, councils do not need to provide for members of the public to physically attend these meetings. Providing the public has access to live streaming, this satisfies the public attendance test during that prescribed period. This meeting is being streamed live and the audio and video recording will be published on the Council's website by close of business tomorrow. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will be available from the City of Melbourne's website as soon as practicable. I request that all mobile phones be turned to off or silent for the duration of the meeting. Thank you very much. The agenda comprises 12 reports from management, 5 of which are confidential, 2 items of general business this evening. No apologies have been received. Councillors, if any of us have either a direct or an indirect interest as defined in the Local Government Act 1989 in relation to a matter to be considered by Council this evening, please disclose the type and nature of the interest prior to consideration of the item. Thank you. I call on a councillor to move a resolution adopting open minutes of council meeting number 57 held on Tuesday the 28th of July 2020. We're on our way, Councillor Pinder, thank you. Councillor, someone to second? Thanks, Councillor Riley. All those in favour, raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare the motion carried. Thank you. Councillors, are there any items that you'd like to raise from those minutes? None, thank you. The following submissions have been received in accordance with the Council's Meeting Procedures Code in relation to Agenda Item 6.4, CEO Employment Matters Committee. There's an item of correspondence from Stephen Main. In relation to agenda item 7.1, notice of motion, Councillor Jackie Watts, electoral transparency, disclosure of positions and benefits or beneficial interests, item of correspondence from Yolanda Leonardi and Chris Thrum. And in relation to agenda item 7.2, notice of motion, Councillor Jackie Watts, electoral transparency, donations, items of correspondence from Yolanda Leonardi and Stephen Main. Does any councillor wish at this stage to discuss the confidential status of any of the items listed in confidential this evening? No, thank you. There are no reports from committee for consideration in open session this evening. We do have 7 reports from management for consideration in open session. The first one is the records of assemblies of councillors. Councillors, would anybody like a presentation on this item? No, then I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion. Councillor Pinder, a councillor to second. Thanks, Councillor Oak. Would the mover like to speak to the motion? Would the seconder like to speak to the motion? Anybody else like to speak to the motion? Then all those in favour, please raise your hands. All those in favour? Councillor Watts, do I have your... Thank you. And that's unanimous, so I declare the motion carried. Thank you. The next item is 6.2, Draft Governance Rules and Public Transparency Policy. Councillors, would anybody like a presentation on this item? No? Then I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion, please. Okay, I'll move the motion. A councillor to second the motion. Councillor Rees, thank you. This motion very much goes to addressing some updates in the relevant policies and legislation, and also I think clarifies some matters that have come up more recently in our meetings, and is a good way for us to make sure that we continue with good governance and transparency moving forward. So I'm recommending this motion. Councillor Rees?
Nothing to add, Lord Mayor.
Thank you. Any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Leppett?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. And it might just be for me, but I don't have the screen. I'm assuming we're still talking to agenda item 6.2. I'm just dealing with a few tech issues at my end. I think we are, so I will contribute to that debate. I want to thank officers for going through this process. The new Local Government Act requires us to delete, for example, our meeting procedures, local law, and adopt a new policy in accordance with the Act, plus a new transparency policy and a range of other policies that need to be adopted by a certain date. That date for this suite of policies is essentially the 1st of September. Local Government Victoria was extremely late in providing guidance documents to the sector for templates for these policies. But in many ways, the City of Melbourne doesn't need those templates because the voluntary level of disclosure that we commit to, that now forms part of our transparency policy, is very, very high. And the governance rules that we commit to are well established and seem to be well understood. And I want to particularly thank Keith and Marlo and your team for not just only translating the policies, but also considering all of those matters that have been raised by councillors and submitters over the course of the last few weeks. I do know that there were no formal submissions to the two policies. And so I make the general observation that when we do have a new council and whoever manages to form that new council, there is another opportunity to ensure that the public transparency policy, the governance policy, the meeting procedures are the right ones, and that they will work to facilitate healthy governance at the council for a full term, and that there should therefore be another pretty big review. Very quickly, I just want to thank officers for recommending, and the chair as well of the portfolio, who I know is having tech issues like I was, for now recommending that we've got live streaming, not only of future Melbourne committee meetings as normal, but also council meetings. That is a fantastic development. That is a big improvement in transparency at the City of Melbourne. And I think it is one of the weakest parts of the new Local Government Act that it is up to each individual council to adopt a policy as to how conflicts of interest are declared. And I'm very glad that it is recommended to us that conflicts of interest continue to be declared in as transparent and public a fashion as possible, similar to the 1989 Act, and keeping that going. So again, thank you to the officers for recommending such an open suite of policies to us. They are very strong.
Thank you, Councillor Leppett. Just checking in with our Deputy Lord Mayor, who says we'll keep going for the minute and feel your pain. Unfortunately, technology can be brilliant, but also defeat us at critical moments. So we'll keep going. Any other speakers to this motion? No, then I'll put the motion to the vote. Draft Governance Rules and Public Transparency Policy. All those in favour? Unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thanks, councillors. Our next item, 6.3, Delegated Committees of Council. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? I'm just concerned because I've certainly lost the Deputy Lord Mayor on my screen. Beck at control, is that the case?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Yes, I believe so. He had sent me a message to say that his computer was freezing. I've just sent an invitation for him to join by phone. So we'll see if that works. We might have him by audio, if not by video. For now, shall I record him as having left the meeting, and when he returns, we'll...
Or would you like to begin? I don't feel that's fair. I can see him. I can admit him now. Apologies to everybody who's joining us today. We just want to make sure we get all this right. Councillor?
Lord Mayor, can you hear me okay now?
Yes, we can.
Sorry, I've just missed where we're up to because I've got frozen.
We stopped.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, we're up to item 6.3, delegated committees of council.
We are getting an echo.
I was going to say, Aaron, maybe if you went on mute, you might miss that. Hello? That's better. Thank you. Fingers crossed. Delegated committees of councillors. Councillors, would anybody like a presentation? No, I'm calling on a councillor to move them. Aaron, we can hear you and see you.
Lord Mayor, given the can I suggest we adjourn the meeting for 5 minutes while we try and the situation?
I'll move the motion to adjourn. Is there a second? Councillor Leppert, so 5 minutes. And Councillor Wood, maybe we can see if there's another machine that you can use to come in. But 5 minutes, councillors, thank you. We'll be back at 5:47 p.m.
Lord Mayor, are you hearing me okay now? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know what is going on. It was fine for the half an hour before the meeting, but now seems to want to freeze every couple of minutes. So I'm not 100% sure I'm going to be back, but I'm back for now.
Okay. Did we want to, Beck suggested that we might try a different bit of equipment. Have you got an alternative?
Yes.
The only problem is I come in on my iPad, and then when I chair those two items, I won't be able to see all people voting.
The solution that I can suggest, Deputy Lord Mayor, is if you join by phone for audio and keep your computer on with mute on, as Councillor Pinder did last week, and so long as your computer doesn't freeze again, that should give you full vision and sound.
It's actually the computer that's freezing. That's the issue. It's not, the actual computer is literally freezing, and then I'm having to restart the whole thing. So I think, look, it's working now. Let's cross our fingers that the gremlins have disappeared and see how we go.
Just a point of order, Lord Mayor. There is a motion before the chair, but you didn't take a vote on it. Can I suggest that the motion be withdrawn?
Oh, did I forget that bit? Goodness me.
But that's good because it means we can continue without the delay. Can I just suggest that the motion be formally withdrawn so we can continue? Thank you.
I formally withdraw my motion to defer the meeting. And we are going to proceed on the basis that we now have the Deputy Lord Mayor with a working system. So let us keep going. Item 6.3, Delegated Committees of Council. Could I please have a mover on this agenda item? I didn't see anybody who wanted a presentation. Anyone? Councillor Rees, thank you, and a seconder. Councillor Wood, thank you. Over to you, Councillor Rees.
Look, I think the papers cover this item well. Lord Mayor, I have nothing to add beyond the officer's report.
Thank you. Councillor Wood?
Nothing to add, Lord Mayor. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, that worked brilliantly. Good. Any other speakers to the motion? Then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. It's unanimous. We declare that motion carried. Thank you. We now move on to agenda item 6.4, which is Chief Executive Officer Employment Matters Committee. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No, thank you. I'm going to move the motion and I'm calling on a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Wood, thank you. The purpose of this motion is to reconstitute the Chief Executive Officer Employment Matters Committee. It's an advisory committee, as an advisory committee of council, and to look at the constitution or the membership of that committee and also to appoint the chair. It's currently a special committee of council with limited delegation powers. What we have in front of us is a motion or a recommendation from management that we reconstitute the Chief Executive Officer Employment Matters Committee as an advisory committee of council with duties and functions identified in the attachment to the management report, which reflects largely how the committee has been functioning to this point. It's necessary to consider tonight the reappointment of two of the members of the committee, Councillor Pender and Councillor Rees. It is to revoke the instrument of delegation, which is CCL 2018-1, dated 30 August 2018, adopting the amended terms, as we've got attached in attachment 3, reappoint Jude Munro as our independent chair until 30 September 2021 and cancel future meetings of the COEMC, noting that the independent chair will call those meetings following council elections. This is a very important committee. It's been working, I think, well over the last couple of years, ensuring that we have good oversight, review and feedback to our Chief Executive Officer, our very important leadership role in our organisation, and important to have regular conversations, not just with the oversight, but with constructive feedback. Jude Munro's done a fantastic job as our independent chair, comes with huge experience, and we've all benefited from that experience across many organisations, and also her experience as a chair. I recommend this motion to councillors this evening. Over to you, Councillor Wood.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I agree completely. You've covered it very well. I'm nervous as to whether or not I'm going to drop out halfway through this, so I'm going to keep it brief just to say that Jude has been an excellent chair, and it makes a lot of sense to extend her term until September 2021 so that the new council can benefit from her experience in chairing this committee. You've rightly said it's a committee that's done a good job in terms of a very critical role, one of the most important roles for councillors in appointing the CEO and also managing his KPIs and work program. And I also think with this committee, in some respects, we're ahead of the game in terms of governance. Indeed, when a review of the local government sector was taken, the recommendation was that it would be good governance that councils actually established at a CEO Employment Matters Committee. So all round a good instrument of council.
Good, we heard you loud and clear for the entire part of that presentation. Councillors, is there anybody else who would like to present? Councillor Pender?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. As has been indicated, this report is essentially confirms that we still want an advisory committee, not a delegated committee. And it is up to elected councillors, I believe, to continue to serve in their duties and portfolios as long as they're in office. And with this particular committee, of course, continuity during this period is very important. So I support it.
Thank you, Councillor Leppert.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I agree with this motion as well, and councillors might recall that when we established the Employment Matters Committee as a formally delegated committee, I was very nervous about the formality associated with that committee and preferred an advisory committee at the time. So I'm extra happy that we're getting back to that. The point there is that over the course of the last couple of years, that committee has conducted all of its business in private, as is 100% proper. These are contractual matters. But as a delegated committee, it's been advertising the fact of those committee meetings in an entirely unnecessary and an irrelevant way, because as soon as those meetings begin, of course, they are immediately closed to the public. So it's a bit of a procedural nonsense to continue them as a delegated committee. And of course, the reason we're considering this now is because of the requirements under the new Local Government Act to transfer all of our old committees to either a delegated committee or a advisory committee as is required. This goes to the point in the submissions. And I think this is the right option because it keeps the independent chair. And as other councillors have said, Jude Munro is particularly brilliant at that job. And I certainly give her my full vote of confidence to continue in that role. I thank former Councillor Main for the slightly gratuitous but kind vote of thanks to me, but I'm not supporting that submission here and now. I think for the reasons Councillor Pinder has said, which I agree with, we're going to continue as we have meant to continue till the end of the term. But just as on the governance and transparency policies, there are issues here that do naturally need to be reviewed at the beginning of a new term. So whoever makes up the new term of council will have a look at these terms of reference, will decide who needs to be appointed to that committee, and will consider what the powers and responsibilities and the remit of that committee is. For example, one issue that's always considered by councils across the state is are the performance metrics for the chief executive a matter that needs to be considered only by that advisory committee or by a full council of 9, 10 or 11 councillors, for example? And that's an issue that I'm sure will be discussed in the new term. These are natural governance issues that should be discussed at the beginning of a new term. And if I'm fortunate enough to be on the council, I look forward to doing it then. But thank you, Stephen, for the vote of thanks.
Thanks, Councillor Leppert. Councillor Rees.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Look, can I also say that this motion does make administrative changes to the Chief Executive Officer Employment Matters Committee, but I think for the public, they can take confidence that the duties and functions performed by this committee will continue effectively unchanged. I can also report that this is a committee which has, in the term of this council, I think performed very well. I'd even go so far as to say that it's a committee which gets the big calls right. And by the big calls, I mean the appointment of CEO Justin Hannay and obviously management around his employment. Can I also say that, yes, very importantly, this motion does reappoint Jude Munro as the independent chair until the 30th of September 2021. And Jude, of course, is a great Melburnian and she is a true, truly outstanding Victorian public servant, or perhaps to put it better, she's a true and outstanding servant of the public in this state. So wonderful to have Jude serving there till September 2021. Happy to vote for this.
Thanks, Councillor Rees. Any other speakers? Councillor Francis Gilley.
I agree with everything everyone said. Just to say that my thanks to Jude Munro for leading the committee in her work. I think the committee made an extraordinarily good choice. We're very lucky, Justin, to have you. Thank you. And I hope they have a very uneventful next 4 years.
Great. Any other speakers? No, I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we can declare that motion carried. Thank you. Councillors, item 6.5 is the endorsement of assessors for Creative City Economic Development and Community Service Grants panels. Councillors, would you like a presentation on this item? No, then I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion. Councillor Leppert, a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Leloup, thank you. Over to you, Councillor Leppett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. These assessors cover a lot of different portfolios. I'll be brief. I just wanted to thank everyone who's put their hands up to assist us in what is a really important process, which is the independent, fearless assessment of multiple grants streams we have at the City of Melbourne. We are putting record funds through these streams at the moment due to COVID and our reliance on these independent external assessors to do a thorough job and thorough assessment of the astonishing quantity and quality of applications that come through the community streams, the arts and creative streams, the business streams. You cannot underestimate how much work is involved, and we need a large panel of flexible but highly skilled and expert advisors to help us do that. And so again, I really want to thank everyone who's put up their hands, and I couldn't recommend the list that's being put to us highly enough, and so I endorse the recommendation thoroughly.
Thank you, Councillor Liu.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and I echo also Councillor Leppard's sentiments as well. I think any time when you're giving up your time to help the city, it should be greatly rewarded. And I congratulate everyone on the list for their contribution to Melbourne. And it is an important endeavour that needs to be undertaken. And we look to their expertise going forward from that. I do know, for me personally, I think, you know, I would probably prefer, you know, I would like to have always refresh, and you know, a 4-year term for me, I think we should really look, potentially look at that. I'm quite open to potentially 2 years, and also with a continual option, because a lot can happen in 2 years, or in this instance, a lot can happen in 1 year with COVID. And so the expertise and the things, I think we also need to change, but not to the detriment of the people on the panel, but it's more to giving everyone an opportunity and also a different view to ensure so that Melbourne, we change, because our city was not what it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or 50 years ago. And so giving the opportunity for other people to have that, you know, give that contribution is also important. But nevertheless, you know, this is, I still highly recommend, can support this motion as well, and looking forward to their support and guidance.
Thank you, Councillor Liu. Any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Pinder?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I think this has been a long time coming, getting a refreshed panel. And I agree with Councillor Leloup, you know, that refreshing 2022 is very important. But I think we need to also ensure we have expert organisational skills and knowledge of the field, but also we need the soft skills, particularly with community, the community grants, and for creative city and economic development, we need those who are well informed about the state of play of the industry and the sector, as well as those who are prepared to do research on the grant application, so we're eliciting any potential duplicity and perhaps even, you know, investigations as to whether the businesses and the concepts are viable. One glaring omission, I think, I mean, I haven't really established whether there is a person with a disability in this, but I don't think there is, and I think that's a bit of an omission. I would like to see someone with a disability or you know, several people with disabilities on such a panel. But at the end of the day, it is ratepayers' money that we're dispersing. So there's excitement about dispersing funds, but I think we also need to ensure that we actually are mindful that acquittals are important, and we follow up and follow through with the outcomes that come from these grant recipients. That is critical with the amount of funding, as Councillor Leppard said, we're expending. It's a huge dollars, and we have got to each and every time ensure that we bring, you know, are on top of the people who are receiving the funding. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Watts, yes?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I would agree with both earlier speakers. It seems to me that this is I'm very grateful to the people of Melbourne who step up and take these really difficult roles. It's just not easy assessing, and it's not easy keeping up, but we've got people from a range of fields. So it's one element of this that I'm sure it's it can be explained, but there seems to be rather a disproportionate number of people moving in and having a look at that which we administer around the arts and creative compared to community, for example. And that concerns me somewhat. I understand the diversity within the field, but nevertheless, there is an extraordinary gap or difference, let's say. I also think that the refresh 2 years might be the way to go, but I'm also mindful that it's a lot of work for officers to recruit and orient people. And there is a bit of a dilemma in my mind around that. But I'm very supportive of this motion, and I again express my gratitude to those who are prepared to lend their expertise to our city.
Good. Any other speakers to this motion? Then I'm going to put the motion to the vote.
I'd like to reply, please.
Oh, sorry. Please go ahead as our mover this evening.
Thank you. Now, there was new information that arose during the debate that I'd like to reply to. So 6% of all of the recommended appointees have a disability. And I just want to make the point that we are not considering the grant guidelines for community grants or arts grants or business grants here and now. This is the formal mechanism to appoint people to populate those assessment panels. How grants are assessed are a matter for council when grant guidelines are adopted, and we are not doing that here and now. These are very real issues that have arisen, of course, now is not the time and place to prosecute them. There will be a time, and of course, council should always review and make sure that their grant guidelines are best practice. But I just wanted to provide the committee, the council, I beg your pardon, with that information. 6% of the about to be appointed assessors will have a disability.
About to be appointed. Let's see. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous. So we declare the motion carried. Thank you, councillors. Item 6.6, Council Works 2019-20 Quarter 4 Report. Councillors, would you like a presentation on this item? No, thank you very much. I'm going to move the motion. I'm calling on a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Rees, thank you. I say thanks to Jo and her team for pulling this report together. The City of Melbourne's Capital Works Program has undergone an extensive review heading into this last quarter, and there's been quite a lot of change in the team and the structure as well over this past financial year. From this review, management has recommended a large number of adjustments, which has resulted in a reduced spend over the year from $205 million to $169 million. The review was largely undertaken in response to COVID, which has turned a lot of projects upside down, understanding its impact on delivery. But it also, the review provided an opportunity for our team to reflect and improve on underspending across a number of projects, and they are learnings that we will take into this financial year. We know that Capital Works will be an important form of spending to create great outcomes for the community, but also to contribute to the stimulus and reinvigoration of our economy, businesses and jobs. As I said, thanks to management and the team for moving quickly to reprioritise works to support the city as we went into and then through this ongoing unprecedented pandemic. We are pleased to see that the team has moved with agility to deliver a large amount of cycling and pedestrian infrastructure. That work is underway. It's happening very quickly. And even with stage four restrictions, we're managing to work at a pace. And we did, to the team who helped negotiate those outcomes with the Department of Transport, so that we could get on with the upgrade of Exhibition Street to be cyclist friendly as well. These works are important, as I said, for keeping Melbourne moving during this time of lockdown as we come out of lockdown, and of course also help us realise many ambitions we have across a number of our strategies, not least of which is our transport strategy. Be so important for workers and visitors as they return to the city. For those reasons, I'm happy to commend this motion to you. Over to you, Councillor Rees.
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor. I'm also very happy to speak in support of this motion and to commend it to Melburnians. You know, I'm not sure how many Melburnians read the quarterly Capital Works update at the City of Melbourne, but if you haven't read one before, well, this is the one to start with, because there is a hell of a lot of things going on around Melbourne at the moment in terms of our Capital Works program. And not only is there a lot of Capital Works activity going on, but as you said, Lord Mayor, COVID-19 has really caused a shake-up in terms of what project activity is underway, as the city has had to move, be flexible and agile to respond to the changing circumstances which we face. The great news for Melburnians is that you know, record amount of Capital Works activity has continued to be undertaken while the city is facing these enormous challenges with COVID-19. For the cyclists of Melbourne, they are going to be absolutely delighted, I think, when the city opens up again and they can see the huge volume of cycling lane and cycling improvement activity which has happened around the city. It's something that I am particularly excited about. And look, it doesn't stop with this quarterly report, because as we move into the next quarter, we're going to see the QVM Queen Victoria Market shed restoration work begin on the heritage sheds. That has been a long, long, long time coming, but it's going to start in the next quarter. We're also seeing stage three works commence on South Bank Boulevard. That's outside the ABC Studios, a well-known corner of our city. And I was about to say here at Town Hall, but I can't actually say that because I'm coming to you from my home tonight. But at Town Hall, the ground floor works and roof repair works are also getting underway. And I think that's going to have a really transformative impact on Town Hall, and in particular, make for a great facility for future FMC meetings and meetings for the public in their public building. So I'm very pleased to be able to support this motion.
Good. Thanks, Councillor Rees. Any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Riley?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I mean, the scope of this work with this Capital Works program is amazing. But the one thing that really came to mind as I was reading this afternoon was the amount of jobs that are going to be created from this work that we're now getting implemented or has been created. So it's a win-win for both the people of Melbourne as well as for us to get all of these done as quickly as we possibly can. Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Good, thank you. Councillor Francis Gilley.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I really, recognising your remarks, just would like to acknowledge, I think, really the team that City Council who worked for 2 years on what became an extraordinarily well-consulted transport strategy that went out 10 years, that really had, I think, a really clear vision of the future and how we wanted transport to go. And I think I just want to acknowledge that because we had done that work, because it was so well consulted, because we knew how people felt about it, it's really had a, you know, it created the opportunity for us to go, oh, something's changed and, you know, COVID is here, how can we respond? And the work had been done, the consultation with the state government had been done, and it really allowed us, you know, to move really quickly. So I, you know, to all the team, I know you worked very long, several years, I know we've already said thank you, but actually, that thank you has come around again. It's that the quality of that work has really benefited the city, and I'm certainly grateful for all that work they did.
Thank you. Any other speakers? I saw Councillor Wood.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I would echo other speakers and say that, yeah, this is a power of work in difficult circumstances. Obviously, this is the fourth quarter report, so the full impacts of COVID, haven't hit at this time. We'll see that, as this financial year starts to be reported upon. And so, well done to Joe and the team. And as was remarked, there's been, quite a bit of change and review of our capital works program. It's been an area that's been a bit of an issue over the years. And I would remark that, in spite of the COVID impacts, that, some of the issues that have been there long term are only just now, being reviewed and being improved. So although, I want to congratulate the team on the sheer breadth and depth of the work that's been undertaken in difficult circumstances, when you look at the forecast budget, even with the revisions down, and then you look at the actual spend, we're talking at a $67 million gap. So that should be a concern for all of us. I know that our independent audit of South Bank Boulevard project found, a number of issues that are now improving future capital works programs. And I know that our CEO has had a real laser-like focus on how we improve that going forward. So I just want to make the remark that well done to the team. The complexity of the work doesn't go unnoticed. The sheer breadth and depth of the work doesn't go unnoticed. But we've still got a long way to go before we're really hitting the mark in terms of delivery, even with the COVID impacts aside.
Councillor Lippitt.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I won't repeat what other councillors have said. I agree with those comments. I just want to say that as well as the COVID impacts, we have the perennial problem that we can't deliver our major transport infrastructure without Department of Transport approval wherever there's changes to signals and wherever there's changes to the state road network, which basically means pretty much every local road in the city which we're changing the configuration on, we rely on a strong relationship with the Department of Transport. Now, it is still undergoing a restructure and feeling the pains of that, and our team is still doing an extraordinary job constantly working through new and improved ways of working across levels of government. However, some of the reasons for the underspend in capital is due to the inability to get Department of Transport approvals, including on some matters that I believe are really critical to get over the line as the city transitions and becomes a safer city in a post-pandemic world. My obvious passion is to get Exhibition Street started at some point. It didn't start last financial year, but mark my words, it'll start this financial year if it kills me. Now that I've said that, it'll probably kill me. But the point is that it's not always within our control as to what we can start when. And I wish everyone in the Department of Transport well, as we all find new and better ways to work together so that we can be a little bit more efficient, because some of the delays on some of these projects can get quite absurd at times.
Thank you. Other speakers to the motion? Councillor Lalu.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'll be, and I echo also everyone's beforehand as well. I think for me, one of the big things is we should really focus projects on Melbourne. And I know of the great relationship we have with state government, but at the same time, we should also be focusing purely on us and not having what second rate or reprioritizing it based on the state. Obviously, where there are a win-win situation, I think we can really work well. But instance where I think where our project has to be put aside or put delayed because of state government projects and everything. I think we are strong enough in our own right as a government, as part of the three tiers of government. I think we should be able to push back and to say, well, we are a growing city. Yes, we understand you have to look after the whole of Victoria and Melbourne is included in that. But at the same time, we should really push hard against the state government to actually say, these projects matters to Melburnians. We were elected by the people of Melbourne. We should stand up for the people of Melbourne. And these projects should be key to a lot of that. So I would, I commend again the team for the great work, and I know the difficulties in the environment, especially the regulatory parts, and also working with the different stakeholders. But I would say be brave and push back when we need to, and you know, making Melbourne projects the focus.
Thanks, Councillor Lulu. Any other speakers to this motion? I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so I can declare that motion carried. This brings us to item 6.7, which is Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal Program. It's the quarterly report. Councillors, would you like a presentation on the item? No. I'm going to move this motion. Somebody to second the motion, please. A councillor? Councillor Wood, thank you. I am again saying thanks to Joe and the team. Thank you for the work and the report. A lot has happened in the renewal program for the Queen Victoria Market over the last quarter. We have actually commenced the restoration on the heritage sheds. I have been up and had a look. We're obviously taking advantage of the COVID environment to fast track the work on the restoration sheds whilst our general merchandise traders are not able to trade. We want to make sure that this the restoration of the sheds can really help boost activity in the market as we move forward, the weatherproofing, returning that wonderful heritage character and elements of the traditional open sheds that are quite unique across the world, in particularly in terms of scale, and also seeing the work being done on the roof, which includes 2 hectares of solar panels. It's fantastic to see how the modern and heritage elements can really combine well to make sure that we preserve character, but of course create an environment that is good for traders and customers, and we continue with good work on how we can improve the ways that we use renewable energy in this city going forward. During this quarter, we've also adopted the Market Square Charter that will guide the vision for the new public open space at the market. The situation, there is no doubt, has been extremely tough throughout this pandemic, and being able to make these investments into the market at this time is really important to ensuring that as it's appropriate to ramp up activity at the market, we're able to do so and continue to deliver good value and outcomes for traders, customers and the community. I commend this report to you. Over to you, Councillor Wood.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. And again, this is just our quarterly report that we receive each time on the program reserve, largely an administrative process in terms of noting what expenditures occurred. I will just note, I won't go into any depth. You've covered, I think, well enough where things are at with the renewal itself. But just noting that the updated business case to be submitted to council later this year is going to be critical. If you look at the line item for program delivery, everything else is tracking, you know, within budget, considerable budget, but what we're sitting at there in terms of total expenditure is close to $18 million. And we've got a program delivery budget of just under $21 million. So it doesn't take much to understand that that program delivery budget is not going to see us through the renewal. So it'll be things like that which will be important in the updated business case. You know, what happens to the southern site and what that does to the business case. So there's quite a few moving parts, and I know Joe and the team have got a lot of work ahead of them as they pull together that business case, particularly given the impacts of COVID. So that'll be an important, a very important piece of work for the new council, I suspect.
Thank you. Any other speakers to the motion? I'm going to put it to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare the motion carried. Thank you. Noting that item 6.8 has been withdrawn from the agenda for consideration this evening, this means that we've concluded reports from management to be considered in open session. There are two items of general business for consideration in open session. The first one is notice of motion, Councillor Jackie Watts, electoral transparency disclosure of positions and beneficial interests. And I'm calling on Councillor Watts to move the motion. And I'm calling on Councillor Wood to second the motion. Over to you, Councillor Watts.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. This motion arises from a campaign to introduce more transparency into our electoral processes. Now, it refers to an element that hasn't been highlighted before, in, as far as I can tell, in other elections. This information that I'm calling upon candidates to disclose in a voluntary way, this information is already available, I'm given to understand, under freedom of information, should constituents wish to access it during the term. But it's quite an onerous process, and people often don't go that far, perhaps the media, but very, very few. The other matter I'd like to raise in relation to this motion is, on the 24th of October, information that I'm seeking to have brought into the public realm is in fact going to be in the public realm, it's mandated, or certain forms of it are. So this is not anything dramatic or new. It's just another opportunity for candidates who are going to be contesting the forthcoming election to share some of their background and some of their interests, some of their constraints or otherwise, with the general group of constituents in our municipality. I'm very grateful that one of our, a publisher of Docklands, South Bank and CBD News is prepared to put their hands up and offer this as a service to our constituents. As I said, the information that will be provided to the publisher is that which can be accessed should constituents wish to do this, and it will be available on the 24th of October, which of course is a tad late for our voters to understand what information around the various candidates. I reiterate that it's actually a voluntary gesture, but it's my view that constituents have the right to know as much as possible about the candidates standing before them to be elected, because as we all know, we're all a subject in a sense to our particular interests, and so these interests will inform the way we go about our work, and they will inform any conflicts that may arise. It's just part and parcel of increasing transparency in our electoral system. The government has yet to do it, even though they've had a long time to do it. They've yet to do it for this forthcoming election in the City of Melbourne. So I think it's incumbent upon council to step forward. Where the government isn't leading, we can lead. And I commend the motion to you.
Thank you, Councillor Watts. Councillor Wood.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. And look, I think this is a pretty straightforward motion. As the Chair of Finance and Governance, I'm obviously a big advocate for anything that brings greater transparency to our voters and our ratepayers as to the sort of information that they know about people who are looking to contest the election. And I think the important part is just that this is any candidate who wishes to contest. And obviously we can say that we can't bind anyone to this, but I think you've you know, hyperlocal news. South Bank News, Docklands News are willing to publish this and do so, you know, in a manner which is respectful, then I think it's a good measure. You know, for example, I have a small business. It's a company. I don't mind that people know that I own a small business. I'm pretty proud of that. You know, that's on my declaration. I'm only too happy to list that and sort of any other boards that I may be part of. Now, obviously, conflict of interest will pick that up as part of normal process anyway. So, you know, I don't think that this sort of goes a step too far in ensuring that our voters know a little bit about, you know, their councils and what sort of boards and bodies that they may be part of. As Councillor Watts has said, it is voluntary. So if someone chooses not to to take that up, then that is their choice. I would give a message to media that, you know, this shouldn't be an opportunity to sort of run a commentary on who has and hasn't taken up this voluntary measure. And maybe this can be a trial run for, you know, what I think will become mandatory as, you know, transparency and governance become more and more critical. And this is not about sort of trying to catch someone out to say, well, you know, we didn't know you were part of that board. And, you know, therefore, when we look back through things, you haven't declared appropriate conflicts, because the onus is on us as individuals to declare those conflicts even when they arise. So this is absolutely not about a gotcha call. It's really about the fact that, you know, as elected officials, we probably, you know, go through life getting involved in lots of different areas in boards and organisations, and we should be okay with letting people know that, so that they can make informed choices as they go forward in things like elections and understand exactly where people fit. So happy to support this.
Would any other councillors like to speak to the motion? Councillor Riley.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Look, I thank Councillor Watts for bringing this forward. I think it's self-explanatory. I do like the fact that it is voluntary. I do like the fact that we have to, anyway, under obligation, put our registers through within the 40 days after the election. But what Councillor Watts is wanting to do here is to let the ratepayers know prior to voting what the candidate does hold as a beneficial interest. I personally don't have any problem with it. I'm also a director of two companies. So therefore, it's an easy thing for me. And I hope everyone else sees it the same way. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Riley. Any other speakers? Councillor Rees.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I'm happy to speak to this motion as well. Can I begin by acknowledging the work by Councillor Watts around transparency over the term of this council, and note the many enjoyable discussions that we've had around these issues. It's an area of great interest for me, as much as I know it is for her. Look, I need to, I guess, say that I'm going to struggle to support this motion, and let me try and explain the reasons for that. The first is that, as all councillors who are present at this meeting would know, that we as councillors fill out a return of interests every 6 months. That's a task that we take very seriously, and it's a job that's done very thoroughly. That declaration of interest is lodged with officers at the City of Melbourne, and they manage that information. And I think it's fair to say they manage that information very proactively. So I think I would defy any council in Australia to say that they have a better system in place for detecting conflicts of interest that councillors hold with matters that come before us. And that robust system of providing information to councillors about where potential conflicts exist mean that the truth is we do often have councillors having to excuse themselves for perfectly good reasons when they have a conflict of interest. It should also be said, as Councillor Watts has flagged, that there are processes in place for the public to access that information. They can do that upon request. So that information ultimately is not something that is kept secret from the public, those interests. What this motion does is take that, take information about election candidates' private affairs into a whole new realm. It will require people who want to put themselves forward for election to disclose what for many will be a lot of detail about their private affairs, offices that they might hold, interests that they may be involved in. And in asking candidates to divulge such a potentially significant amount of information, we do have to ask a very serious question about what good is served by doing that. And so, you know, if I sort of ask the question, okay, so how does the council benefit from the this motion? Well, I would put it to you that I don't think the council does benefit because, as I've mentioned, we have a very robust return of interest process in place at council that is adhered to by councillors and very robustly managed. And so I can't see any advantages there for the operations of council. It also, I don't think, will particularly help the public get a balanced understanding of candidates for election and their various holdings. Because it is voluntary, I suspect that participation in this would be very haphazard. And so you could very easily, the public could very easily end up with a distorted picture of what the holdings and interests are for the candidates who are running for election. And then I think probably the most significant point for me, though, is that this does involve, you know, quite a significant incursion into what is effectively people's private affairs. And that might have the consequence of discouraging good people from running for office. And that's something that we do need to think very seriously about in a democracy. We do want the best people to put themselves forward. We do want good people to run for office. But if they're told that one of the things they need to do or encouraged to do as part of that is that they need to lay out all their private office holdings, their interests in organisations and so forth, that might prove a deterrent. And it might prove a deterrent to otherwise good people putting themselves before the public. And let's be honest here, and I think the Deputy Lord Mayor flagged this as well. The interests disclosed will be those that, we will hear about these things in the media if there's a gotcha moment that emerges. If there's someone who makes a mistake, for example, possibly quite an innocent mistake with their disclosure, and again, I question whether that's a good thing for the democratic process if that particular occurrence eventuates. Now, I should stress that, remember, if a candidate is successful and is elected, then they will be required to disclose all these interests as part of the and update them every 6 months under the disclosure regime that we have at the council. And again, I can inform anyone who's following this debate that that is something that is very robustly managed here at the City of Melbourne. So look, in conclusion, I would say that, look, this is a finely balanced thing for me. I do acknowledge Councillor Watt's good intentions in putting this motion forward. I do think that for me, it's a motion which does result in an incursion into people's private affairs and the public benefits that flow from that, to me, are debatable. In fact, could indeed be negative if they discourage people from actually running from office. And so on balance, I'm not going to vote yes for this motion. I'm not going to vote no either. I'm going to abstain. And sorry, my final point on this is, and look, I would say to Councillor Watts that I'm very happy to continue this conversation with you as we've done so in the past.
Thanks, Councillor Rees. Any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Leppett?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. This is a fascinating debate, and I'll just acknowledge up front, as I think everyone knows, that I intend on contesting the upcoming election. The way the Local Government Act reads at section 129, there are exemptions on conflicts of interest around materiality. If there's a conflict of interest so remote that it can't be regarded as capable of influencing the actions of the relevant person, then a conflict doesn't arise. So I think there are good points being raised in the debate, particularly around what the meaning of beneficial interest is in 1.1.2. For example, if someone holds one share in a company, will they be shamed if they don't voluntarily disclose that? Perhaps a materiality threshold would have been wise in that section. Anyway, I'm going to support this motion because I'm in favour of transparency and giving voters as much information as possible. I agree with the thesis of the mover and the seconder, but I'm going to make some more extensive contributions in the next debate about the nature of voluntary disclosure regimes, because as we saw in 2016 with the election donation voluntary regime, it did not work and people did not disclose what they were asked to voluntarily disclose. So I very much hope that the optimism that Councillor Watts brings to this issue comes true, that people are being asked to voluntarily disclose this information, and they will. I will do so, but no one should be chastised if, for whatever reason, security or otherwise, they're unable to adhere to a regime that at the end of the day has no enforceability associated with it and shouldn't be used as a blunt instrument to attack those who are unable to comply. But the general principle that people should know who they're voting for and what their interests are, I agree with. I just have very real reservations about the feasibility of voluntary regimes, but I will talk about that more in the next debate. I'm happy to support the motion.
Councillor Leppert, thanks. Councillor Francis Gilley.
Thank you. I won't be contesting the next election, so it won't impact on me. I think I will be abstaining, and the reason I'll be doing that is because I actually think if you're coming to this, it's as a person that wasn't really coming to politics. I think when you're coming to this and it's new, it's really, really complicated. And so actually anything that's voluntary or anything that's not quite clear or anything that might be in or might be out becomes actually quite a frightening and debilitating barrier to access. And so I think what really helps is the same rules for everybody and then being very, very clear. It was a really, I found it a very, obviously we got it wrong. I mean, I found getting elected a very complicated exercise. Obviously, I won't re-prosecute it, but so complicated, I clearly got it wrong. It's a great cost to some people. I do agree with Councillor Watts that we need more transparency. We better need to understand. So I really salute that. But I do think it needs to be done in a way that everybody can really understand what they're being asked to do, and everybody is doing the same thing. My experience of when you get something wrong, the press's gotcha a willingness to actually be ruthless and in revolting in the case of the Herald Sun means that I would not want anything to not be really, really clear and to apply to all people. So that they didn't feel further exposed. But I'm also, this isn't my area of expertise, and so as such, I will abstain because I really like the intention, but I am concerned about what it may or may not mean to people who are putting their hand up.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Louis.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I also support the views of the previous speakers. I think my issue is, I'm all for transparency, of course, and the more the better. And I accept, definitely Councillor Rees is right, that the City of Melbourne, we as transparent as you can get in terms of our reporting processes. But I have difficulty with it, as well as predominantly is about the voluntary. I find it difficult as it's not an equal playing field for all the candidates, unless all the candidates are declaring on an equal basis the information. I don't think it's not a level playing field for all the candidates and for the constituents to be able to look at and to decide on an equal basis for electoral basis. So I too will be abstaining from the vote. I totally agree with the transparency and accept the transparency part, and happy to follow, as we've done with the previous meetings. I think if the minister was to be in mind to legislate, then I'll be more than happy with it. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Oak.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. It's interesting listening to this vote. I thought this would be a no-brainer and it would just go through, to be honest. So I'm interested in the arguments, because I've just heard everyone's for transparency, but they're not necessarily for transparency. So apologies that I may have misinterpreted what I've just heard, but I particularly was compelled to speak after you, Councillor Francis Gilley, because I think that this maybe allows for all candidates to actually understand the consequences of running and what all of the, you know, yes, it is complicated. And so actually, if there is a campaign for all candidates to be as transparent as possible, then maybe that gives that extra level of pause to think about, well, okay, what is it to run and what is it that I should tell the electorate? So I guess to your point, I agree it's complicated, but there's actually a whole lot of great information out there, not only the training, the mandatory training, but the Local Government Act and the information that goes with it explains, you know, conflicts and what should or shouldn't be declared. So I guess I support, you know, if this is to be published, on a website, then, you know, maybe it's just an added, making sure it's very clear about what it is that it's being asked of the candidates. And even if there was a thing saying, look, this is, you know, that conflicts change and people can review and update or something like that. So that, I don't know, something that to make sure that this isn't about a gotcha moment, that there are new candidates and things may or may not change. But I think, on a whole, though, if we're for transparency, and if the City of Melbourne, and I've heard my colleagues just say, you know, we're all for transparency, then I think, anything that allows the electorate to know who the candidates are and what they're involved in and how that may or may not affect their perspectives as a councillor at the City of Melbourne, I think is really important. And, you know, let's just get the wording right on the website to try and capture some of the concerns that have been raised tonight, in particular for new candidates, and links to information about what it is that they're signing up to. And maybe to the point that Councillor Rees made about, or maybe it was Councillor Leppard, apologies, about, you know, the 1.1.2 around beneficial interest, you know, maybe it's just with respect to, maybe it's not about declaring absolutely everything you're involved in, but really thinking about those matters that you're, or those companies or bodies that you're involved in that have some interest in the City of Melbourne, you know, that thinking through the decisions that may be made and declaring those, if that is your concern about, you know, declaring absolutely everything, even though there may or may not be a connection to the city. But anyway, that's, I will be supporting the resolution, the notice motion.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Pinder.
Look, Councillor Watts has known my stance on this, but I want to thank Councillor Oak tonight for really amplifying, the importance of this. I hadn't heard you before on this, and I think you've brought to my attention the transparency of this that is just so necessary. And I was recounting when I, my first term as a councillor, And I got it wrong when I did my beneficial interest. I mean, I didn't know a body belonging to a body corporate that you kind of, you know, be the chair of a body corporate that you've got to put that down until just only recently. So I think, Councillor Watts, that this probably has some merit. And whereas I've come from a base of reluctance, I can see a greater merit in this. So so thank you for bringing it to us.
Thank you, Councillor Leloup.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and I want to also thank everyone just for that. It's a really great debate, and I think I also want to thank Jackie for Councillor Watts for bringing this forward. I will also. I was actually initially probably. I'm definitely on the fence because there's just too much questions and things for me to ask and also to consider, because I spent a really good time to do that, and I really do want to just highlight some of the things that went through my process. So for me, you know, we have VEC, which is I think a great body which controls and good control and governance in place for these disclosures. And I think for me, the biggest part is probably around the privacy and also the and what that information is dealt with. So, for example, when we, having been through a couple of elections and a couple of campaigns myself, I note that, you know, I'm required to sign, to destroy any information given to me that has around this. Now, I don't know how this would be if they are to voluntarily disclose, and the information, sure, I recognise that there is a body there, but a media or a newsletter, and I'm sure, you know, Sean and the Docklands News and everything will do a great job, but it is not an area that they are expertise at, and I feel that it is in giving information to somebody that does not have that expertise. For me, is a big red flag or warning. The other part is around the thing for me is a lot of the disclosure, the voluntary disclosure, and I'll give an example because it's fundamentally, and I've experienced many times where there is somebody who really wants to get into public office, who wants to give back to the community, who wants to do these things, but they are, they work for a company, they're a director of a company, or they have an absolute interest in the company. The company said does not want to be involved, to be seen politically. They do not want to be associated anyway with a campaign or anything. And so the candidate that would be required to ask for permission from the organization or the company or anything that is involved with to say that. And if they actually say no, then that candidate cannot run. Cannot apply. And I think that for me really rules out a lot of good candidates which usually could run for office. And God knows, you know, in our political system, we really need those captains of industry, those people who've really started things from nothing, and also the way that to hold office, because they bring a lot of perspective. I'm bringing from another perspective, which was you need, there's a lot of things that you're involved with that they potentially not want to be highlighted or, you know, you want to work for. And not in a very bad way or anything. It's just purely the fact that people don't want to get political. People don't want to get interfered. People don't want to have the risk of losing and then, incurring or potentially the wrath of people who, doing these things. So that is also a big concern for me. And the other one is more, and while I recognise it's voluntary at the same time, I feel it is also another addition and another red tape for candidates to potentially run. And I think everyone know me, I'm all about reducing the red tape, I'm reducing about removing regulations. For me, it's running for council or running for public office, it's a right. And I think, we should encourage as many people to run. Yes, obviously, if you do go through those things, you are required to list them. but that barrier initially, you know, putting them to even think about running, that mental state, I think it's quite a hard one. So on that sense, but at the same time, you know, I think, Jackie, you've been banging on about this for a long time, for as long as I've been here. We share this office, we talk about this many times. And, you know, I will also be abstaining probably the next one as well, but to a different point. But I recognise that everyone has their own views, and that's mine. And also the feedback that I got through candidates, because to be honest, have we really asked the candidates what they want, what they feel actually want? Because we talk about that a lot. We talk about consultation, we talk about going all that. But a lot of the candidates, have we actually, we don't even know who those candidates are. Have we asked them what they want? So anyway, that was my 2 cents worth.
Great, thank you, Councillor Liu. I think we've all spoken. I'll just make some points and listen to all the speakers, which was terrific. I think when these sorts of initiatives get put, given the type of information, and really it's part of such an important process, they've got to be carefully structured and all aspects considered. And actually it was when Councillor Oak was asking lots of questions about how it might need to be fixed up that it actually increased my concerns about supporting this motion tonight, because there are just so many elements to how it would operate to ensure that it was fair and that there were appropriate protections. And I think when we have structures and schemes put in place to promote transparency and accountability, which I'm in favour of, then we need to make sure that those schemes work well to actually deliver transparency and accountability. And I can't see that in this motion this evening, so I'll be abstaining as well, just as an indication. Back to you, Councillor Watts, as the mover. You're still on mute. Sorry, Councillor.
Can you hear me now? Forgive me, I'm fumbling. So much discussion, so many things to respond to, but you are right, Lord Mayor. This is a very important matter. This is about the election, and this is about knowing all that we can fairly about those who are standing before us. And let it be clear that this information is going to be required of candidates come the 24th of October anyway by the government. So this is simply going through a process which allows the constituents to know a bit more than they normally would or have in the past about those standing before them. So I see an outbreak of abstaining, and that's actually a strange thing on this council, but I note that in moving through and puzzle about it. I really find some very strange arguments put about employers might be objecting, though. It seems to me that good candidates are going to have cleared that by their with their employers before they put their hand up. There's a lot of sort of, oh, what if things go wrong? What if people misbehave? What about this? What about that? The reality is all we're doing is shining a bit more light on matters which are of interest to constituents. Nothing more, nothing less. I want to say that the law tells us what beneficial interests are. Let me tell you that I consulted with advisors about this in the administration, and I am confident that I'm not asking anything more of candidates that isn't going to be asked and is already asked of people who are elected. So it's just providing information. So I don't really think that anybody who's running for office will resile from declaring what boards they serve on, will resile from any beneficial interests they might have. This is giving people an opportunity to share some of the really important things about their lives. So I'm a bit taken aback by the sort of presumption of things that go wrong from this. And I've noted with interest some of the suggestions. Believe me, I will do my best to improve, or not improve even, ensure that this register that is being prepared by the publisher of our local newspapers is as close to or adopt some of the very important measures that have been referred to tonight. I'm really very pleased to put it to you. I really want our constituents to think about these things, and I hope that I can address some of the concerns that have been raised. And I seriously thank you for your input, and I thank the Mr. Main, who submitted to tonight on, I'm not sure, can't recall which motion he submitted on, but this transparency matters. And
good.
That's all I would like to say for now.
Thanks, Councillor Watts. All those in favour, please raise your hands. Councillor Leppert, Councillor Riley, Councillor Watts, Councillor Oak, Councillor Wood, Councillor Pinder. All those against, please raise your hands. All those abstaining, please raise your hands. It's Councillor Francis Gilley, Councillor Louis, Councillor Lelou, Councillor Rees, Councillor Capp. And so the majority in favour, and the motion is carried. Going on to item 7.2 is Councillor Jackie Watts, electoral transparency donations. Oops, I'm missing a page. No, I'm not. So sorry, Councillor Watts. That was the end of the title. Looking at Councillor Watts to move the motion.
So moved.
Councillor Wood to second the motion. And I'm back to you, Councillor Watts, to speak to the motion.
Lord Mayor, I'll have questions as well. Can I just indicate that it's up to the mover if she'd like to hear them now or after she's considered it. They might go to a change in the text, that's all. So I'll leave it to you and to her, but thank you.
Councillor Watts, what would you like to do? Would you like to receive the questions now?
Of course. I'm in the interests of getting the best outcome here for our constituents. So please go ahead.
Councillor
Watts, and thank you, Chair. It's just a little one. I note the change to the donation disclosure threshold in 1.1.2, and thank you for including it. I just want to point out, though, and I've just found it, so Section 306 of the Act makes it clear that for the purposes of the disclosures, two or more gifts made by the same person are taken to be one donation. So it's $500 cumulatively, not $500 a pop. And so this would not include one donor who makes, for example, 100 $499 donations, but that would need to be disclosed under the statute post-election. And so is it your intention to mirror what's in the Act, in which case I'd suggest a tweak, or is it merely to capture any gift of $500 or more, in which case that's what you've got? I'll leave it with you, but thank you.
Should I respond to that now or at the later? I'm impressed by what you're saying, and if it creates more transparency and makes more sense, I'm happy to amend the motion to reflect that, and the seconder might have something to say.
Do we need to identify what words would go there and then consider the amended motion?
Can I just suggest that after the word gift in 1.1.2, you add parentheses or gifts cumulatively, close parentheses, and leave it at that? I'll suggest that to you, and you might want to remove it, but it's up to you. Thank you.
Makes sense to me. Seconder?
Was it, I'm sorry, is it all gifts or all disguise, any donation or in-kind gift?
Good point. I'll leave you to fix it. You'll need to work on that, but I can't actually quite see the screen given the way I've got my Zoom set up. So I think you know what I'm trying to get at, but I'll leave it to you as mover and seconder to fix it. And I'm sorry, I can't actually do better than what I've done. Sorry, but it's not quite there. You're right.
So maybe it's disclose any donation and or in-kind gift of a value of 500 or more cumulatively.
That sounds so good.
So after or more, so get rid of the stuff in parentheses.
I'm struggling to find the thing on my, forgive me.
Yeah, well, actually that works as well. Disclose any donation and or in-kind gift of a value of $500 cumulatively or more. Yep.
Thanks for your help.
Over to you, Councillor Watts.
Good. Well, this is, I think, even more straightforward than the earlier one. I noticed there was a reference earlier to this register of sorts being not successful in the last election. I would argue, on the contrary, it was extremely successful. Earlier in the day, it was reported to me that 50% of the candidates from the last election disclosed on the register, that in that case was the age. That's 50% more disclosure than constituents had the time before that. So this process may not capture 100%. I would hope that it would, but it's an improvement. And it's all about transparency. This motion wouldn't need to happen at all if the state government had done the right thing by the constituents of Melbourne so many terms ago. But here we are once again facing an election where we were tantalised by the promise of donation reform, but it was snatched from us because of an IBAC matter that seemed to render the state government unable to proceed. I think that this council, we are a council that takes, I would hope, a strong position on transparency, a strong position on donations. This is a council that has been conflicted so much in my terms at council that anything we can do to reveal or make people understand the implications of what they're donating and the donations they are receiving is a very important matter. If it's very important that our constituents know that the candidates are actually liable, if you like to use that word, or responsible or impacted on the donations they receive. And what isn't often brought forward, and for me it was a revelation to discover, I think just in this term, that donations that were received up to 5 years ago still impact on the performance, the conduct of councillors. This is no light matter. This really does impact on the work we do as a council. So if this introduces a sort of note of caution on the one hand, or introduces, on the other hand, more transparency about what people are accepting, or anything to inform the constituents before the election, rather than 40 days after. So it's a very easy opt-in option again. People can opt in to disclose, or they can actually perhaps even make some kind of public declaration that they are going to put information on their own website. I don't know. That was another thing that was raised today. This is a very simple, straightforward motion. Tell us what donations that you are accepting of a substantial nature before the election, so that we, the voter, can understand where you might be conflicted. Might not come to anything, may not be important, but it's very important that we throw light where we can. And that's what we're doing. We're throwing a light on a scourge, I would say, on councils that I have been engaged with. There's three of them. So it's not a complex matter. And again, I commend the publisher of Docklands News, CBD News and Southbank News for actually putting their hand up. Now,
Councillor Watts, it's Beck here from Council Business. You've, I think, in your enthusiasm, muted yourself.
Forgive me, everyone. Apparently, in my enthusiasm, I muted myself, but I've said quite enough anyway. So I commend the motion to you.
Councillor Wood.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I had a terrible thought that my computer had frozen again when I couldn't hear Councillor Watts. So look, again, thank you to Councillor Watts for this motion. As Chair of Finance and Governance, again, I wholeheartedly support any measures that are going to increase transparency, increase that information that voters have before them, you know, when they're making their decisions. And if someone's donating, you know, over $500 or, you know, $5,000 or $20,000 to someone's campaign, it doesn't mean it's the wrong thing in a legal sense, but I think it does mean that voters have a right to know where people are funding their campaigns from. Obviously, a lot of this is part of disclosures anyway. It's just that it happens after the election. So it doesn't inform voters in a sense for them to be able to perhaps question a candidate at a candidate, meet the candidate session to ask them about a certain donor. It doesn't allow the media to shine a bit of light on how people are funding their campaigns, which I think is important. The only sort of nuance I would put here is that I think the way that campaigns are funded needs to be looked at and evaluated going forward anyway, because I'd hate to see the situation where, you know, independents find great difficulty in funding their campaigns because they're not personally wealthy themselves, but someone who has great wealth and can simply donate to their own campaign can then sort of avoid, you know, a lot of the issues that people may get into with, you know, needing to go out and source donors. But that being said, I think that if you are running as a candidate, you should think twice about the sort of donations that you will and won't accept. Obviously, we have some policies and values that the City of Melbourne, that we as an organisation have set. You know, we've done things like divest from tobacco for good reason. So I think if you're going to start to live the ethos of the council, which you could be leading, then obviously those things make a lot of sense. If we can just scroll back up to the core part of the motion, please. I can't feel that on my screen. So part of this is about what sort of donation you would or wouldn't choose to accept. I'm comfortable that those sectors are sectors that, you know, a lot of, particularly New South Wales, have already moved to set some parameters around, you know, what sort of donors you can accept. Many candidates in recent elections have decided not to accept donations from developers because of the difficulties that that places you in with conflict of interest. Again, I'm not saying a conflict of interest is bad per se. In fact, that's governance actually working really well to declare a conflict and step out. But the more you're unable to vote on things, the more difficult it is to fulfill your role that the community expects of you. And I think the 1.1.2, you know, disclosing it before the election does just give more information to our voters. So again, I see this as a relatively straightforward motion. It's information that we all would have to capture anyway if we're choosing to run in the election. And obviously, as Councillor Watt said, I don't see 50%, you know, getting involved and disclosing their donations as a failure by any rate. I think 50% involvement in a voluntary program is excellent. And I'd like to see that participation and see how many of those people that didn't participate in declaring donations didn't get donations anyway. So they probably thought, well, I'm not getting any donations, so why would I go ahead and declare them? So that figure of 50% may be a little bit misleading in that those candidates who didn't receive any donations are just choosing not to declare. So I think 50% is actually a pretty encouraging result. It'd be great to see that go higher if this motion is successful tonight. But thank you, Councillor Watts, for your work.
Good. Speakers to this motion. Councillor Lippitt.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'm going to support this motion. The underlying issue is really important here, and we've talked about it a lot at the City of Melbourne. The state government has had 4 years, well, they've really had a lot longer than 4 years to address what is an obvious problem in governance throughout the local government sector, which is the way donations are regulated and the way donation disclosures are regulated. And this is an effort to attempt to voluntarily come up with a scheme that might
provide more information in advance of an election, but it's certainly not perfect. No voluntary scheme can be, and I'll talk about some of the issues involved in just a moment. But the it is very, very clear that there are problems with donations, particularly from high property interest donors and those with pokies interest, for example, or all those sorts of hot button issues where council has to sit time and time again in a quasi-judicial way to consider the rights and interests of parties and decide whether or not to grant a new right to one of those parties. And if councillors have taken too many donations from particular sources, obviously that impacts the decision making of the council. From time to time, it's normal and it's legal, and it's there are ways of dealing with it under the Act that the Act envisages, and it's fine. Quorum will be lost. The fact of losing quorum and the fact of a donation causing a conflict of interest in and of itself doesn't mean that something terrible has happened. But as Councillor Watts has pointed out in this motion, it is always a good thing to try and encourage a donations disclosure regime that will get people talking about this issue, because I think we'd be kidding ourselves if we said that the way councillors take donations and the way candidates take donations in advance of an election don't impact the way councils are governed. Of course they do. Whilst there are mechanisms in the Act to deal with conflict disclosures and deal with quorum losses, these things should be minimised where possible. It's why we have in our code of conduct that we've all signed up to a commitment to try and avoid taking gifts from anyone that's likely to give rise to a conflict of interest down the track. And it's a principle in our code of conduct that is sometimes difficult to apply in the strictest possible sense, because at the end of the day, to run an election, especially in the City of Melbourne with 160,000 constituents, and most of them not living inside the boundaries, it is a very expensive thing to do. There is no public funding for elections, and so it's always going to be a tricky balance. So I support any effort to improve a donation disclosure regime, but let's not pretend that the 2016 voluntary disclosure regime worked. It wasn't 50% of candidates who participated. It was nearly 100%, actually. I think it was all but one team of candidates. It was 50% of donations that weren't disclosed. The team that brought in the largest number of donations declared $127,000 through the voluntary disclosure regime, but then $314,500 through the statutory process by 40 days after the election, including an extra $20,000 from the Australian Hotels Association and the infamous $80,000 donation from Dainty Age One, which I'm still trying to figure out who that really is, but that's okay. The Age will tell me one day. The point is that whilst it looks and feels like people are participating in a good proactive voluntary disclosure regime, we just don't know what is true and what is not. And so there's $187,000 that's missing from that. Technically, there's nothing wrong there or nothing dishonest there, because I know that, of course, like many other tickets, people were encouraged to pledge the donation in advance of the election, and the donation was collected after the election, so that there was technical truth through the voluntary disclosure regime. There was a voluntary disclosure regime, so people wanted to talk about it, so now I'm talking about it. But there's one ticket that was particularly problematic. I'll find it. It was the Team Morgan, a City That Works ticket, which declared $8,855 in advance of the election, a personal donation from Gary Morgan. It wasn't until after the election that we found out that that was actually a donation of $6,000 from the company, not from the person. So the person was big noting the donation as a personal donation, but it was actually straight out of the company books. And the candidates for that ticket all lodged contradictory donation disclosures after the election. The four lead candidates, Lord Mayor, Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor One and Councillor Two, all lodged contradictory donation disclosures. So the thing I really want to get out of this voluntary disclosure regime is a discipline amongst all councillors and all candidates to do the right thing and practice for the statutory obligation that's going to come. Because as we saw in 2016, a lot of people did not disclose what they were meant to disclose, even though they committed to doing that through the voluntary regime. And it looked and felt like they were doing that because there was a regime in place and information was flowing, but no one had any idea of knowing what was true and what was not. I will be publishing my donations in this election. I give you my commitment, they will be true and accurate, and what you will see before the election will be absolutely identical to what you will see after the election. But the message here is that all candidates, not just those sitting around the table here who might be running for election as well, just because there's a voluntary donation disclosure regime doesn't mean that it works. Let's try our hardest to make it work, and let's try a lot harder than we did in 2016.
Councillor Francis Gilling.
Well, thank you, Councillor Leppert. That was very brave and very clear. I think, for me, again, I'm not standing again, so I will abstain again because I think I won't be subject to this, and I'm also not technically clear enough on the issues and how they play out. But there are a couple of points. One is, through this whole time, I have not understood and being clear about how the influence of gifts to people or their patronage on tickets has played out. And I've been inside it and it's not been clear and I haven't understood it. So it is not just what's written down, it's the promise or the game of the creation, the promise that is made to each other or to parties or to players about what you will do. And that doesn't always necessarily come with money. I think the interesting thing for me is, I think I'm probably the only person this term, because I received only two gifts from friends of $1,000 who didn't need to leave the chamber at all. So, and I was absolutely clear from the time that I received those only two $1,000 gifts about who they came from for the whole campaign. So I too completely think it is very, very valuable to do it transparently. But again, like I said before, the problem with this is that people who do have things that they don't want to show, don't show them under a voluntary system that has no rigor. And so what happens is people play the system, and the people that play the system are not necessarily the honest or clear or most transparent players in the game. And so to that extent, in some ways, this actually can work totally opposite to the thing that we're hoping to achieve. There needs to be clear rules that are over all people. I absolutely agree with Councillor Watts that the state government should have done this years and years ago. But to actually create an environment now which is not clear for all players and that is subject to abuse with no recourse, and actually most likely to be abused by those who understand it and have played it the longest, or have a strong political connection and, you know, can use that connection to get round it, I don't think is fair. So again, I don't know, and I'm not there next time, and if I was, it wouldn't impact on me anyway, but I will abstain again. But it is not because, I'm part of, I think you intimated at the last debate, there was something about abstaining. I'm abstaining because I think this is extraordinarily complex. I think it is really important, and I think it needs really, really clear rules. Otherwise, those people that don't play by the rules abuse it, and they are least of all the people that we want in any role in government. So I don't vote against it because you may be right, but I'm not voting for it because I don't think this is clear enough. I think the one last point that I would make is that I think here I am with the Greens. Not necessarily in this room, but just across the country. From what my short time in politics, there is no place for the games that are played from the way that people give money for preferential treatment or for favours. And I've now watched federal politics and state governments state politics and seeing local government politics in a way that I've never observed them before. And I do not like it. And I absolutely believe with the Greens that actually nobody should be allowed to have any funds other than those that all get equally. But that's not going to happen, but I will be abstaining.
Thanks, Councillor Francis Gilley. I'll make some comments. And just to go to your point from the previous motion, Councillor Watts, I am a supporter of transparency and accountability, which means that I'm looking for ways to support, but I just can't support a process that doesn't create fairness, transparency or protection, and that's the reason I'm abstaining. I want to say I support transparency and accountability, but I just can't support the process that's been put up this evening. I note the comments from Councillor Francis Gilley and Councillor Leppett, and they fill me with more concern, and they only make me feel more resolved about my position on this motion this evening. As I did in the Lord Mayor election in 2018, I declared I would not take donations from gambling or tobacco companies or developers, and I did not. But I do know that voters want to see a level playing field where all candidates participate in a disclosure system that ensures that information is timely and it is accurate and can be relied upon to make comparisons and judgments across candidates. And I think that this motion does not set a system up for that. At the moment, the system that we have is in the Local Government Act, and Council, we have all councillors acknowledge that the system is not perfect and can be improved. That's why we unanimously passed the motion at FMC on the 21st of July 2020 in relation to reforms that we were looking for, and on the basis of that motion, I subsequently wrote to the Minister for Local Government requesting the legislation be amended, amongst other things, to prohibit donations from property developers and gambling companies and require candidates to disclose donations. It is a system that we need to rely upon to make sure we get that level playing field and that we get proper disclosure and protection. As Councillor Leppett said to us today and has just said in even more detail, the similar scheme was tried at the 2016 election. I was not part of that, but my understanding, as we heard, was that more than half of the donations received by candidates were not declared through that voluntary system, which really means that voters should have no confidence in the system, and neither should candidates seeking a system where we get the right sort of disclosure. I'm concerned that voters will rely on the veracity and the completeness of the information provided through a voluntary scheme, and I don't think they should, and that's based on obviously experience of the past and a scheme put in this motion which unfortunately just won't provide mechanisms that voters should rely upon. I support the intention of the motion, which is why I'm happy to write to the Victorian Electoral Commission, perhaps again, perhaps we've done it before, I'm not sure, and seek advice on this matter to understand how we can do better. These sorts of systems do need discipline, and they do need to provide a situation in which voters can rely on the information being disclosed. For these reasons, I'll be abstaining. Thank you very much. Any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Oak.
Once again, I'm encouraged to speak after listening to my colleagues. I support this motion, and maybe it's because I'm not running in these elections that I'm optimistic and feeling hopeful for the future. I don't know. But I guess I go to the point, you know, that is in the motion. It talks about all candidates declaring, and to the point that Councillor Leppett made, you know, I think again that this, you know, if this is highlighted through the media and it's publicised and candidates are encouraged to disclose donations, yes, it might not be perfect, but at least it brings to the attention of voters that they should actually have a view to where money is coming from for campaigns. And, you know, I will be watching with great interest as to what is declared publicly and then what is declared after the elections. And I think Councillor Leppard is quite right to highlight that, you know, that it wasn't perfect and what was reported through the public and voluntary process wasn't accurate at the end of the day. But I guess going to Councillor Gillies' remarks about it again, being a complex and a complicated process, if this, you know, sets up in describing what this disclosure register is all about, it will encourage candidates to take greater responsibility than I have seen in the past. That just because you're on a ticket, it's not just up to one person on that ticket to declare, it's actually up to all candidates to declare their donations. And maybe by, you know, encouraging this before the election, it actually, you know, it allows people to understand their responsibility by signing your name as a candidate, that you are taking on the responsibilities of conflicts, of donations, of declarations. You can't actually look to someone else to do that for you. So anyway, so I support it. It's not necessarily perfect, but anything that we can do to shine a light on something that the state government should have changed in the first place is something that I support.
Thanks, Councillor Oak. Other speakers to this motion? No? Over to you, Councillor Watts, as the mover.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I just want to make sure we all understand here that when you abstain, or when one abstains, one's effectively saying no. The one thing I think we can rely on with this motion, no matter how many people participate and voluntarily provide information for constituents, it'll be more than they would have. They will know more than if this scheme did not exist. So no, it's not perfect, but I have faith that this will, as Councillor Oak quite eloquently put, remind people of what donations mean. Donations come with expectation. Donations come with sometimes complete innocent expectation. They want to expect that somebody decent will get up. Or they come with some ill-defined, we all know what influence is. So I think it is very important for constituents to know the background around donations. It's a simple matter. I really do think that more information is always better than less in these situations. And our constituents deserve the best. They deserve the best information and they deserve the best candidates. And it seems to me that candidates who have nothing to hide, thank you for pointing out, Councillor Leppard, that some very decent candidates get it wrong, but we're none of us completely free of such mistakes, I wouldn't think. Although some of us might be perfect, who knows? But this is a step forward, it seems to me. When our government won't do it, our state capital city can. So I commend the motion to you.
Thank you. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Leppard, Councillor Riley, Councillor Watts, Councillor Oak, Councillor Wood, Councillor Pinder. All those against? None. All those abstaining, please raise your hand. Councillor Rees, Councillor Lelou, Councillor Louie, Councillor Francis Gillian, Councillor Capp, the majority in favour, and so the motion is carried. This concludes items of general business to be considered in open session. Councillors, do you have any urgent business to be considered this evening? No, then we are going to
move to the closure of the meeting. Thank you very much. It's the closure of the open meeting, I should say. I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion that will be displayed on the screen to close the meeting to the public so we can consider confidential items. Councillor Wood, Councillor Francis Gilley seconding, putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. And it's unanimous, so I can declare that motion carried. Thank you very much to the members of the public. Thanks for your interest and attending this evening. We declare the meeting closed at 7:29 p.m. Thank you.